So, my workshop is about the very, very, very basics of MetaPost. And as I said today at the lunch line, I really feel like I might be one of the slowest learners here. And it's quite possible all of you know more than I already do. But my job is, or I feel that I'm trying to translate MetaPost logic into a non-programmer's language. I'm going to tell you first a bit on what my problems were, where I'd gotten stuck when I switched from visual vector graphics programs to MetaPost. And now, as I use context, there may be a few things that don't work elsewhere, but as far as I know, all the basics are the same. I use a lot Context Wiki sometimes, but the two sources I use most when I'm trying to teach myself MetaPost and solve problems is MetaPost User's Manual, which I've also found handy. I have on my computer as PDF. I will at some point try to get everything on that disk on the file server. But I've also printed a copy for myself so I can read it elsewhere. It has just a few maps. It's been a bit, it's a bit too mathematic for me. It doesn't really answer to my needs. This is more, if you want to draw lots of mathematic graphs, if you want to illustrate math, then this is probably a good book. I've had more use of Hans's Metaphone for Context 4. A lot of this book is just as applicable for plain MetaPost or MetaPost in someplace else than Context. But then there are some tricks that only work in Context. As you can see, I've been reading the book a bit. A couple of these tags even, there's like one that says variables and one that says grid. But the list is just marks all over the place. So I'm not sure. I just know that if I open it at a mark, there's something I can use. My book is also, I found it's kind of expiring already, so sooner or later I will have a bunch of loose leaves, but that happens. But this is, it's just, again, it's not, the organization is better for somebody who isn't so interested in doing maths, but is still, I had the same problem that I had with a big Context manual, not so much the beginners, but the big one, but also the beginners manual, that it, the starting point is different from mine, and I always have the learning curve is really, it goes like that. So I always have the 2 to 4 weeks of, I can't understand anything, and why doesn't this work, and why am I supposed to do like this, and what am I doing anyway? And then slowly things are dawning, usually with some help. And the only thing I knew about MetaPost is that it is just like TeX or HTML, that it is a way to describe things to a processor that blurbs out a picture. It blurbs out whatever you want, whatever you think you want. And that was about that when I started. I mean, as I'm used to vector graphics, and I've done my maths at school, but it's a few years ago. I had the idea of what to do, but how to do it was different. This was actually something that was easy bit for me, and I tried to think why, because it's based on coordinates, and I never had problems with the zero being on that corner, but that's because that's if you're a word user, if you're only done word, or some of the other similar programs. They start because it's more like it's for word processing, that kind of stuff. Even, I think PowerPoint does this. They start counting from top left corner, where the main text area starts. But I've been doing so many charts on spreadsheets, and I've done my coordinates at school, my basic geometry, that kind of stuff, even vectors. But this was not a problem to me. However, I found that the coordinates in my head are not always enough, so I often have to draw the grid to really get anywhere. But it's also, I'm used to doing graphs on squared paper, so that has something to do with it. So the first thing to learn was a path. This is what the vector graphics programs call outline. Outline pen properties and that kind of things. This turned out to be a lot easier than I thought, so I tried to do it in all kinds of difficult methods. I don't know why, because it's just as easy. You click the mouse at the starting board, you click the mouse at the end board, so you get a line. But somehow I had problems turning my head around this. So here is a straight path going from 2-2 to 3-3 to 4-2. Here is a curved path which has a bit more points, I'll show you in a sec. And here is a closed path which is called the cycle, which I think we'll check where it starts. It's just very arbitrary straight lines just dumped there. And here also I'm using MetaPost itself, as far as I remember, only has 5 colors. It's got black and white and blue and red and green. But then you can make colors. I mean, you can define colors, but these are the ones it has names for. So you see, a lot of my stuff uses these basic colors just because I'm so lazy that I can't. And I found some information on colors when I needed it, and I managed to give it RGB codes for the colors I needed. And just because I make a lot of graphs, I make simplified presentations of braiding, weaving, maybe some charts, something like that. It doesn't have to be exactly so. It's just like heraldry. A red is a red is a red. A blue is a blue is a blue. Just enough contrast and that's it. In heraldry, it really is any shade of red, as long as, if a 3-year-old says it's a red, it's red. This is a bit of the same thing. Hold on, I had to boot. That's why open reasoned. Grid path. I got the grid here, but let's see if this will. Oh, I don't know how to zoom in this thing. I'm not the best user of tech, I guess, but it works for me. I got stuck with it because it runs Kotak, doesn't it? Oh, is it Windows Zoom? There. Okay, that wasn't. There. Okay. Anyway, doing a straight path was really, it was a piece of cake once I figured it out. It's just understanding that what I call an outline is a path, and what was the important stuff there was the one that made all of the time. The important thing is the two dashes. You must make a straight line between these points. Draw with color red. Make a red line. It took me a while to get this far, seriously.
Why it really needs a bigger font. It's unreadable like this.
So how do you do it?
Go into the text menu.
Okay.
That's like, no, sorry, font. It's in a view, I guess.
Where?
You need the font
view
entry.
View?
Try the view menu.
View? Font? Bigger.
Right.
Okay. And it's Command and Plus.
Right.
Happier?
Yep, much better.
I really haven't needed this ever, so.
Next year you will get a small.
Yeah, I've only used TechMate for about 10 months now. In the beginning it was a bit arbitrary. It's just that I had to come up with something in the Mac that works.
So you still don't know how to turn off spell checking?
It doesn't bother me. I'm used to, all my programs go Ori anyway, because I write Finnish, Swedish and English. And if I can't be bothered to turn off the spell checkers, they go crazy anyway, so like, who cares? Couple of red lines. It doesn't matter to me. This really is. Okay, so that was the straight line. then again, I needed the curves to get my finger operating instructions. That's why I switched. And this is as in vector graphics, I'm used to doing Bezier curves and cursing them big time. This turned out to be a lot easier, actually. The trick with curves is those two dots. That says make a curved line between these points. Now, I don't fully understand the curve logic, so sometimes I get nicer stuff than sometimes else. Sometimes it surprises me. But it's still the basic, I understand the basic concept now. One thing that also I had to learn, and this is partly because I'm mostly very tired, so I have to concentrate very hard to get things right. And I kept dropping the semicolons. I still keep dropping them, but not at the same rate. But somehow I should have known better. Even if I'm not a programmer, I should have known. When I do contact, I've now learned what stuff is really important. And I know where I drop stuff. I don't actually usually, well, Techmail also usually writes a pair of, but I don't drop parentheses because when you write, it's the same thing, you need to have both. But the semicolons were a hard bit for me. And usually if my meta post doesn't work, that's the first thing I check. Quite often. Either I missed a word, I've written with color, I've forgotten to say what color, or I dropped the semicolon, and in any case it says blah. Okay, and this is the fill, the closed. And it's that cycle back there which was the hard bit. It is actually what CorelDRAW calls auto-close. In CorelDRAW you can auto-close, it's nodes. And you can auto-close the nodes when it draws the last missing grid between the two closest nodes and makes a field like a closed object. But this was really, it looks really easy. But it still took a couple of days or something like that. I started from the hard end because I wanted to do the calligraphed line for the finger operating thingy. So I had to also learn to put it underneath the title and all that. But what I really needed to learn there was that. And then I had to learn the cycle. Then I could go on and find out how to do a shaded fill, and that was a piece of cake again in the top one, so. It's supposed to be hard, and that was the easy bit. But it sometimes surprises me. When I was drawing this, especially that, happened what I call offshoots. This happens often in my crafts. I'm doing something, and then I get an idea for something else, and it shoots off, and I get like a different little plant, different little piece of jewelry or something else, a new card. And what happened here, that while I was doing that, I suddenly remembered something I'd seen in the books. I hadn't bothered to check how to draw a spiral. This is, again, anybody who's done any maths is like, well, that's easy. Yeah, I know it's easy, but I haven't done it, so I've never paid attention to those pictures. But I managed to draw my circle skirt from my ballet skirt. It doesn't have to be long, so I figured 40 centimeters in fabric, and then it shortens with hems. Now I can see here that if that's 40 centimeters, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, that means 160, that's exactly what my fabric width is good for. Or I may have 150, so I'll divide the fabric in 4, mark them, and then I can manage the rest. And then I have to fiddle a bit over here, but that's fine. But it gave me a basic idea of what I can do with that piece of fabric I have and how I get what I want. Well, that was purely accidental, it just happened, and this is again something that I got a perfect spiral and then I just adjusted a bit here so it doesn't go over 160 that way either, so it just enough. It happens, but that's more problem sorted out. So. This was supposed to be a field thingy. Oh, do I have more field pictures? Yes. Okay. So, there is an object that's closed, basic straight paths and cycled, and then it can be filled. And I'll have to find my field here. here. There we go. Let's take you away. And it was that. Okay, there's also a color definition actually, which I, this is on my grid, but here. This is a color that's called in RGB chart, which I'm using. I got it open here. Yes, I know it's just 256 and it's pretty boring, but it's good enough for me for charts and stuff. So it's a quick reference RGB code from there. And here the, it took me a bit of trawling on the internet because I couldn't find it in the manual. So I mean, there's Metafun manual has lots of fancy stuff on colors, but it didn't have the basic stuff I needed. And there's also apparently Lotte, I think, has a model that brings in the color names for the 256 and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's possible it's all in there, I just don't know how to use it. There's a color that's called medium blue on the list. And it's basically, it's 00205. So, now I've done this once, I can always cheat and check my old stuff, so now I can define the colors. And I can learn more when I need it, so. But this is what I need to know basis. There. So instead of draw, I said fill. Then I told what the closed path is, and what I found out today while doing this, if you forget to tell it to close the path, if you don't say cycle, and you have a fill in the beginning, it's going to say bulk. And because, of course, it's understandable. If you tell MetaPost to fill an object, or fill a path, and then you doesn't give it a closed path, it doesn't know what to do. And instead of just not coloring it, what is what, for example, CorelDRAW does. You can tell CorelDRAW to fill something, but if the path is not closed, it doesn't fill it. And once you manage to close the path, it fills it, which sometimes causes interesting phenomena. This is kind of smarter in the way that it just doesn't. So I tell it to fill, I tell it what to fill, and then I tell it with what to fill. So I end up with a medium blue thingy. Now this one is, it has an outline and a fill. And this one, I'm not actually sure how kosher this command is. I used fill draw and my line caps refused to work. Probably because I don't understand what I'm doing, but because it still has rounded line joints, so that didn't really agree with it. Well, it's just fill draw, so it fills and draws with the same color, and because I haven't defined any outline width, it uses the same 1 point width as elsewhere.
And it didn't work this way, but why did you put the command below the fill draw then?
That was just a try.
Yeah, but it has already filled with it, so then it cannot...
Okay, so if I move my line cap above, which is kind of, yeah, I'm being stupid. Never mind. Yes. No. It's still stubborn around it, except that I don't know what did I tell it to do. My turn. It should be sharp. Because I need line join, not line cap, of course. This is something I have sometimes problems with. Like I found out with my grid, which is actually pretty smart. Smarter than what I'm used to. When I told it to do grid is done, it really is lines. It's lines this way, lines that way. You can adjust them also individually, yeah. Do different X and Y. And my grid is lines, which means that when I want to sharp corners, I need to use command line cap. While this is a closed, so I needed to use command line join to get the sharp corners. And as Hans put it out, I need to tell it first what kind of corners I want before I draw the thingy. This is the thing I still have lots of problems with, that I put things in wrong order, and then I wonder why it doesn't work, or why it says blerk again, because I've just piled things up in the wrong way, and I don't always... I'm not used to thinking that way, because when you do it in visual vector graphics programs, you click on the mouse and you give all the definitions separately. You go and click on that property, and then you go and click on that property. This is actually preferable. Mm-hmm. So my mousing arm has been very happy about me going over to MetaPost. It's definitely less unhappy about stuff nowadays than it used to be. Okay, so that was the fill. There is no real... Fills are easier to do, I find, than the paths. Everything else is difficult, but filling is, as long as you stick to single color, is really... one thing to know, if you have several thingies, which was also here, this is actually just like in vector graphic programs, they kept piled up the way they are drawn, in the order they are drawn. So it's just like pieces of paper. You draw this, then you draw that, then you draw that, then you draw that. And I've also found out the hard way that if I give contradicting commands, or if I get several commands that affect the same spot, the last one is the one that is valid. Which is what sucks on the moment with my black work, because now there's one line that's two colors. There's first a green one, and then there's a black one on top. I don't know yet where the problem is, but I'm sure it's my code that sucks. But I figured out today I'm going to redo it anyway, so... But that's just something to think about, especially I get these, oh, I should have done that instead moments, and then things don't go in the correct order. I mean, it's just a matter of moving code. It's also easier than trying to adjust the layers in vector graphics. Then the next thing I had to learn, actually there are two, shapes is the wrong one. I need to find, my code is not beautiful, but I'm going to dump all of this on the server. So you will be able to see both the PDFs and this was one of my problems. I told it to, this was again for the finger looping stuff, when I need to do the two circles and a line in between, a curve in between. I told it to draw a circle. And what it does, if you don't tell it anything else, it uses the origin as a midpoint. And this circle is scaled 4. Somehow I was thinking about just the radius, but it actually thinks about the whole thing. Which kind of reminds more of what I'm used to. It's just somehow it hadn't parsed until I started doing it, and then I went, what on earth? This is why I really, really, really had to learn to draw the grid. Because that was the only way for me. I'm sure there's easier debugging methods, but that works for me quite often. That helps me somehow to orientate to the MetaPost world. This is what I do in Inkscape or ColorDraw. If you don't press Shift or Control anything, you just take a mouse, select a circle, and draw a circle. It starts from here, and then it draws a circle towards there, and then you drop the mouse over there, and this is what you get. It's the same thing, but the starting point is different. Or if you do like me, I draw a circle that's about there, and then I adjust it. I give it the exact numbers, you have to be this size. Not so much in ColorDraw, but I have to use sometimes a extremely stupid and not really user-friendly sticker program. It's a 5,000 euro sticker printer that came with this really stupid software. And it's got drawing anything exactly there is just like. So instead, I do a circle that's above there, and then I double click it to adjust manually the dimensions.
A question.
Yep.
Sticker printer, like a real sticker printer?
It's the one that's like prints and cuts. It's 11 centimeters wide, vinyl or even carbonate.
Okay.
And it's what we used inside at work, what they put inside the instruments, so for nameplates, that kind of things.
Okay.
And it really is the software that came with it. For example, I'm used to the fact that you click an object, and then with arrow buttons you can move it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work in that.
Okay. Have you ever done some stitching for MakerPost? I mean, you work a lot on with textile.
I don't have a embroidering. I've seen the one video. And I still, one day I will be an owner of an embroidering sewing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be one of those really expensive ones that will allow me to input my own images.
Yeah,
that's when this comes handy.
In Cologne we have a stitching machine and we are working, it's a computer-controlled stitching machine. And I guess if you combine that with MetaPost, you can do some really nice things.
Yeah, you know, some of them, they are all, especially if you go on the cheaper end, you only get the pictures on an expensive SD card or you have to use their own software. But the more expensive the machine, the more likely it is to eat anything, or SVG or something like that. So when I go, I'm going to go high end. I already made this mistake. I bought a for my Kratzer, a paper cutting, electronic paper cutting system. And I went for the 150 euro one, which comes with an SD card with ready-made shapes. That was stupid. I should have gone for the 500 euro one that allows me to do anything that connects to a computer, because that would also, that would eat SVG. So I could also connect MetaPost with a paper cutting system to do paper shapes for cards, tags, anything. But on the moment, I've used up my toy allowance for this year, so I'll have to wait for a bit before I can buy new toys. I've gone splurging big time for braiding stuff, so I'll have to stick to that for a while. Anyway, this was just something that I needed some adjusting, and I still don't always remember how it works. And it was it's a real difference to what I was used to. I can do this in Inkscape or CorelDRAW by pressing, I think, Shift or Control, one or the other. And if I had done more, I've done a minimal amount of 2D CAD when I needed to make pictures for our user manuals. Those work on the same basis. This is also, if you've done AutoCAD or SolidWorks or any of these, MetaPost is easier, because the philosophy is closer to the same. But as I come from the user end, I'm used to slightly different things. This is also like Windows Paint does this too. I mean, Paint is yucky because it does bitmaps, but it's got some of these, it does circles and rectangles and that kind of things. And so this is just something I had to learn, that I have to think about. I need to open Shapes Free, it's over here too. There we go. And then there was, of course, once I learned this circle thing and learned to think about the diameter and not the radius, and think about where the middle is important, then I learned to do a unit square. Took me a while to figure out, for a unit square, you tell where the left bottom corner will be, and then how big it's going to be. Done! Just when I'd learned to use think middle, something worked. First time I did this, I went, what? Until I realized that this just, on the whole, this square thing is a bit difficult because there's all the usual software is the VisiVec, Inkscape and stuff. They always have a a comment for doing rectangles. There's always a circle, there's always a rectangle. Sometimes you get other shapes. But those are the really basic things. And not having quite that, but actually I like, and I've also found, I don't need rectangles that much. I'm much better off doing paths anyway. So I just do stuff on straight lines and cycle, and that has turned out to be a lot easier. But anyway, so here is the bridge. This is the bridge circle that starts from origin, because I haven't told it to go anywhere else. Draw a full circle, skate 4, so its diameter is 4 units. Then I've told it to use a thin pen and then with a red color. And yeah, this was just about the first time I needed to draw a dot. I've used lines, I've used curves, I've used many fills, but I haven't needed a dot. But this somehow I'd managed to get from some of the books or something, because a dot is just, you just tell it to, there, that's your point. You just tell it to put a point someplace. This is very easy. So here I tell it to draw a full circle again, scale 4, thin size. But then I tell it to shift. And now that it shifts from, it shifts from origin in this case, so it shifts the center to 5-5, and then the rest is the color gold. Is also from the RGB definition. It's in the beginning of the file. I just picked.
The distance, the shifting is distance, or if you would put a point somewhere, being somewhere, and then shift something from there.
Yeah, if I shifted this, if it was drawn someplace else than the origin, it was shifted 5 to the right and 5 up. But in this case, when this one was really, it's like this one shifted, so it started from origin, so I didn't have to do any math. That's the dashed line. Took me a while to get my dashes right. I haven't used them either. And that's the square. And it doesn't actually, this is just filled, not outlined. So it says, fill unit square. So basically make a square and fill it with a color that is defined later. Scale 2, and this time it really is, again, the diameter is 2. Then shift it from 0, 8 and 1. And that really shifts the left bottom corner. And then the color is blue with a bit of black. Oh, that's a dot, yeah. So, another exercise took something like 45 minutes at least. Had to refer back to the manual for a couple of times. I don't really, but it's really, that one is scale 2. This one is scaled 4, so that's actually logical. It's just that somehow I'm used to doing circles and thinking about the radius. So, but that was my stupidity, or rather that I wasn't quite in the correct mood yet. So, the next thing to learn, and this is not the one I wanted. I want transformation 1. If I have one. Nope. Oh, it's because it's called, should be called shifted. Nope.
There is shifted.
You found one? I'm just blind in that case. Let me splitting this up and then things.
Yeah, and it's called shifted. Around the
PDF. Oh.
But not lower.
Oh, it's not a PDF, is it?
There's no PDF.
Yeah, I need to compile it. That's why. Yeah, one thing I've also learned that when I try to do bigger pictures, I often do things in small units first. I practice with small things first, because if I try to do something too big, usually it doesn't go anywhere. But I need to go back to basics, and there we go. So here's a very indefinite object. Couple of straight lines and a curve. Just a shape where you can see which way it's being. And this is the shift. I've taken that, shifted it, and then filled it with blue. Doesn't have an outline. This was one of the first things I had to learn, just because I was doing the finger loop writing, the roundels, and pretty soon I figured out that it's really stupid to draw the same thing over and over and over, to tell it always to draw a full circle and then put it in a different place. And so there are quite many examples of shifting here. If you stumble on it even elsewhere, then the example is really illustrating something else, but stuff is shifted, so you stumble on it all over the place. So I figured it out fairly soon. And this really is a case of figuring out where it goes, because that... Here is also the first time... This is also something I learned pretty early based on examples in the book. Because first I would just copy examples from the Metaphon book and not understand what I was doing. I just copy faithfully, and if it didn't work, I'd go back and check all my semicolons and check for typos and that kind of things. And of course they work after that. I haven't found any mistakes in those yet. So what I learned to do is to cheat a bit. I say path P. Although my paths are often called something else than P. I don't know why I find it bored. Well, I often have at least P, Q, R, and so on. So here I define P is that. There's straight lines, a couple of curves, and then it's closed. Because after this, I can tell MetaPost to do stuff to P, my path P. Take that and do something to it. So here it says, draw it, use gray, pen nib scaled like that, and then fill it with dark red. So that's the original object, the one that's sitting down here. And what this says is take P, fill it with color, shift it. This was also something it took me a while. Even though I had this coordinate grid in my head from school, so I just had to come out. First time I just tried, can I use negative numbers? Of course I can. So I can tell it to go left 2 steps, go up 3 steps. And then while you are fiddling with it anyway, fill it with blue instead of red. If I hadn't said that, it would be red too. No, it's blue. So shifted left and up. Shifting is what I'd call, is what they use, what the vector graphics programs usually call duplicate. It depends on the program, some keep the connection between the original and the object, and then you get problems if you change one but not the other. Some just duplicate and then there's no connection between those two, so you can go and stretch color on the next one. But shifting is a lot more. Shifting is really putting your stuff where you want it to be, especially when you have many of the same thing. And this works out very well for me because most of my graphs have lots of the same thing. Like the tablet waving, there's just the one oval. The rest is just transforming it and shifting it and that kind of things. So that was shifting. That was, in the end, it doesn't always do what I think it's going to do, but usually I managed to figure out why. That wasn't too hard. Oh, rotated, rotated. Do I have rotated one? Okay. Rotation was actually not so easy to me. This is the type of rotation I'm used to. Rotate it around the center point, which is somewhere here. In vector graphics, I'm used to you double click the object, you get different types of, you get the rotation point, then you just go, and, but it turned out that if you just say rotate, MetaPost uses origin for the rotation point, which means that if I just rotate this red thing, tell it to rotate instead of rotating around the middle, it ends up somewhere here. Usually this is not what I want. And this took me a while to figure out. Today I of course found it in the book when I managed to find out about it by myself after cursing. And
one question, especially if you have a complex path, is it easy to determine the center point?
Because it's, you don't have to do it. MetaPost does it for you. This is something I'm still trying to learn, because it's almost too easy. You say center P. So it says fill P. So take my path P, the original object, and fill it with coral, which is defined up there. Doesn't show. Oh, I'll make the font bigger. And when you use rotate it around, you need to say rotate it around what, and then how many degrees. So that's rotate it around center point. Yeah, center point of my thingy P. And then I said, told it to rotate 90 degrees. I have still problems remembering when I put measurements in parentheses, I sometimes have problems remembering how many of them and what I have to. So I have to refer back to book quite often. Here is another example. I think I've got that in rotated around 2. There. Yeah. Here. And this is something, this is what I actually usually need. It has been very haphazard until now. I've got it straight in my head. This one I've told to rotate around that point. Because I can easily see from my code what the high point of my object is. It's the one here commented. Fill P rotated around 5.5 and rotates 120 degrees. And that's, for example, what I used in my Roman mosaics.
Wait a minute. So just like you say center P, in this case you could say the right top corner of P.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that yet. I realize that I can sometimes say that right top corner or left bottom or something like that, but it's not. These are the type of shortcuts I haven't figured out yet, all of them. I mean, I'm worried about them. It's the same thing with my Japanese braiding. I just realized that there's actually in a circle, the 8 points are built in a circle. I don't have to count them. They are there. I can tell it to use a point. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've been so stupid. But I just didn't realize they exist because I'm so used to doing it by hand. That's what I have to do in CorelDRAW. I don't know if it's right, there might be an easier way, but what I do is I make a guideline, I turn it 45 degrees, I dump it where I want it, then I can make the stuff. Or I use a grid, but it's not really, if you want to use all the 8 points, the grid is not that handy, it doesn't get nice. Or I make a circle path and put stuff on the path or something like that. I mean, there, in any graphics, at least in vector graphics, there are always, so just like in Contact in general or Teh in general, there are always many ways of doing the same thing. I mean, I have gotten the same graphic out in 5 different ways. It's just that my code sucks more or less in some of them, and some of them are like this short and very handy. Some of them are this long, and I'm not sure anymore what I did, except that I can see that I wasn't terribly smart when I was doing them.
What is center in this case? It's the center of rectangular shape.
Yeah, the boundary, center of the bounding box.
No, which would be that.
You can macro, make up a
so it makes like.
Make a
basically, you do a.
No, center P is just a native.
Yeah, that was in the MetaPost manual, that wasn't even in MetaPon.
It's not the center of the shape, but just of the bounding box.
Center of the bounding box. So if you draw a line here and a line here, well, actually this
complicated
process.
Complicated calculations probably to find the center
was,
of gravity.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, that you need to do something else for.
Sometimes you when you do this kind of stuff, you expect it to be the center of gravity, and then you're right, doesn't it look the way I want, and that's exactly it.
Yeah. Obviously, there's always a reason to why it doesn't look like what you want, but sometimes they are harder to fathom than some other times. Then there's also another transformation that I haven't really used, mostly because I just haven't needed it, is just happened to be listed in the transformation list, so I grabbed it as well. There. Slanted. Yeah. Well, I can see where I could use slanted sometimes, for example, just for some of the braiding stuff. But sometimes when I braid, my hand is more slanted than some other person's. And I need to like, reality is not 90 degrees. A reality is not 120 degrees. And sometimes I might want to just do a quick check on what it looks like, but I might want to just slant it. It may also cause problems if I slant one and the whole thing goes bah! But on the other hand, it's really easy. I switch one word. So, I had some problems getting this to fit into the coordinates. I had to fiddle with it a bit, so.
That's because normally slanted is done with very small values.
Yeah, it's not really very much slanted. And color D orange is dark orange again from the RGB list. I'll just put it up here. I should probably come up with a better way of doing color, but. So it's. Again, fill P, take P, fill it, slant. There's also shifting. I had to shift it down and left for a bit to get it to fit, because it was like off scale. And then I made it orange just to differentiate it from the original. These are really the. Then there's also, for example, draw arrow command, but that is very simple to use because it's just, instead of saying draw line between these two, you say draw arrow, and it draws a line which arrow ends in the, then you can do a reverse arrow or double-headed arrow, but that's very much, there are a lot of things you can expand on once you have the basics. So, but the next thing, of course, and this has stumbled on fairly early, because of what I was doing, was trying to do kind of shift, copy, duplicate, rotate, turn around and try to make things. This code sucks still. It sucked a lot worse. This is the one of the mosaics. This is the simplest one. And it really is the only. This is a first round. I was thinking really stupidly. I was like, I need to do the white background too. And then I realized, no. I just need to put the squares in there. The background is white. I don't have to think. This is also partly because I was thinking sewing. And if I'm quilting, I need to do what they call a block. And that would mean doing. This would be very good for quilting. Because you have very easy, you could cut very easily cut triangles and suitable squares and then sew it all together. This would be very suitable for because those that feels just about the half, so you could do the triangles out of a similar size, so it would be very very easy to do. But anyway, so. My idea is the frame comes separately, but the idea, what I started with is the square, and then slanting it, and then trying to figure out. And as I said, this is not just because I wasn't good with using, because I'm used to mirroring things, and the equivalent to mirroring in MetaPost is reflected about. But actually, most of the time, mirroring is stupid. Most of the time, I should be doing something else, but I'm just so stuck with the idea of, because it's also, I find it hard to find the axe around which to mirror. Most of the time, I should be rotating or just shifting or even drawing two different things or something like that. This is, yeah, one thing what I love in MetaPost, and this is something Hans showed me by just sending me fixing some of my Celtic code. MetaPost can do math. I don't have to do the math. MetaPost can do my math. And so this particular pattern is actually really hard if you do it with a ruler because it goes in threes. And the threes in the metric are pain in the butt. But here, I don't really have to bother because I just said, start from, because the book I use, the one on Roman mosaics, it says, it starts from one third. And this is like, because my original version had rotational patterns, then suddenly I realized that there's no point. I can draw the square exactly where it's supposed to be. So it starts one third zero. 1 1 3, 2 thirds 1 1 2 3, and actually that is probably superfluous because it will cycle it to there anyway. I just haven't realized this. Originally, I thought I first have to close it, so the last point has to be the first point, and then cycle. But today I found out accidentally that that's not the case.
The straight lines.
Yeah. Yeah, with curves, obviously, you may want to do something else, but straight lines.
Only cycle closes the path.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be filled.
If you just arrow, it wouldn't cycle.
Yeah.
It should be closed.
Yeah. Either you use full circle or unit square or one of these others, or then you cycle, it's closed. It really is. It's in vector graphics programs, they call it closing the nodes or out of close or something like that. One thing why I like Metaphon book is because the end of the book has a cheat sheet, and it's a visual cheat sheet. It doesn't help if you don't know how to use this, but it helps when you have a reasonable idea what you are looking for and just need to check. There is a unit circle. And actually, now that I'm looking at this, I realize that also they've actually marked the point of reference. So here's a full circle. It has a point of reference marked in the middle. Here's a unit circle. The point of reference is marked there, left bottom. There's a full diamond and a few others. There's also a full square that has a point in the middle. But somehow the examples seem to be using, it's kind of funny they use full circle or unit square. I'm sure it's just the preference of the person who wrote them. But this I find, I get ideas from here. Just by looking at it, I'm suddenly, oh, you can do that too. So this book has a lot of pictures, which is nice. It's just, the order is not always what I'd like it to be. But this part is very handy. I use a lot of MetaPost stuff in between here. Yeah, here is also, this is a project to be. And now I know a lot better how to do it than when I planned it. These are my heraldry in our medieval game. And at the time, I very intentionally showed a piece that is easy to draw, because I can't draw freehand. And I realized that it's also a thing that's fairly easy to convert it to MetaPost so I can get a vector graphic for it. And after that, I can scale it, and then if I want to embroider it somewhere, I can first use MetaPost to make the template. Or if I want to, especially if I want to do applique, it will be really easy. Print off the template in MetaPost, cut, copy on the fabric, cut again. Or if the fabric allows, print it on a transfer sheet, iron on, yarn. All kind of cheese. So here's my oblique square. And it's actually, well, I guess you always have to give fill color. I don't know, if you just say fill, it probably is black anyway.
Black is default.
Yeah, I figured that out. The next bit is not beautiful.
It actually is.
So it takes that square, and then it just shifts around. So I get all the nine. And there really is, it somewhat bothers me that it's kind of asymmetric, but this really is how it is on the floor in Fishbourne Palace. That's how the Roman workers did it. Instead of stuffing four, which would have made it a lot more kind of symmetric in our sense, they just put nine, three times three.
No,
so,
that's the basic.
But it kind of. If
one center square,
yeah.
Four rotated,
yeah.
Four rotated.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Four.
Yeah, this also really the. How we find symmetry has changed over the years. So, until the Renaissance, symmetry actually means things pointing the same way. This appears as well in medieval dances as in, for example, patterns of fabrics. The stuff points the same way. It doesn't have a symmetry, X in the middle. That comes around the Renaissance. And it's just something that sometimes bothers us, because we are so used to this. Is also something that may be different in different cultures. It may not feel the same for a Japanese person than it feels for a Western person. But this really is kind of disconcerting, that it might make an interesting pillow, for example, maybe slightly muted colors, but anyway.
For the coffin.
And then there's a, that could be one line, it's the pony box, and then there's just draw the whole thing, and the last thing, this is something Hans taught me, so you don't give measurements in the beginning, you just do the thing, and it's, if it's default measurements, it's pointed, it's like tiny. But last thing is there, take whatever you have until now, current picture, and make it 5 centimeters wide. That, by default, keeps the ratio, so it makes it right. And this is something I still need to work a lot with, but it is a start. And when I redid my mosaics, that's why it's called Mosaic 3, because one was not very successful. 2 looks right, but code is a bit not beautiful. And then when I started doing three, I realized that I'm much better off if I do all three bits first in their own files, and when I get that to work, I can compile them all together. But this is, and it is really fun because the book says that divide it up to these parts. So you can really, and I want to do some of the curved stuff as well, just to learn to use curves a bit better. Okay, my clock is in finish time, so I have about an hour. Let's see where my textiles are. It's getting kind of full here in the moment, so I'm going to, not thing along, but I want to go to tablet weaving. That was the one. No, actually, that's the, yeah. So, funnily enough, I managed to do my tablet weaving simulation before I finally triggered this, which is a threading chart. And that's kind of funny. There's also, and I read on the email list that this is not an easy thing. The font is pretty yucky, but that's just MetaPost labels. So I haven't bothered to learn to. I made a couple of tries with something else and gave up. Whatever. For this, it can be a yucky typewriter font. The main thing is that their labels are there. It's easier to use with them without. But it really, and I still don't know if I did it terribly smart. It might be really stupidly done, but it works. But I had an early version, and this is again one of them. I tried to fix it, and I realized that I had been so stupid that there was like no point. So I was a good girl and started from the beginning. This is also where I figured out the color, because the problem was that I already had the braid, the one you saw with hearts, because I had drawn the original picture in Inkscape. So I really wanted the pink, because I had happened to use pink on that one, because it just fitted. So I had to figure out how to define pink and a bit of... Yeah, sorry. I may also have to show them my line. Okay. And there's all kind of fiddling, but this was the label bit. And but what I did here, DZ and DS, which probably, I mean, this is again, I have something really long and complicated looking to make something really simple, which is this. But it's partly because I want to make elements where I can just say, put it there. I mean, they are all alike. That's just too different. I just need to be able to say that take a, which is this, is a Z. Let's take a Z threading and put it at 1. Then take an S threading and put it at 2. One day I'll also learn to make this program warn me if they are all S or thread, because that will cause problems in real life. But for now I'll rely on myself to be able to debug that bit before I do the warp, because it's much easier to trigger it at this stage. But this is again one of the cases where it would have been much easier to just do lines and squares and forget about the whole thing, but I want to do it so that I can reuse it, and I want to do it so I learn it. So there's first, and this is again, I realized that I probably could omit this by just doing a bit of copying, but this is a one thing that years have taught me when I've done contacting. Even if for about 9 years I did it mostly for myself at work, I only wrote the contact code, I'm the only one who edited it, but years taught me that the better comments I have there, the easier I get out of it 3 years on when I have to do something about it. So I learned to comment my code, even if it's just for myself. But because I may not, if I don't touch MetaPost for 6 months, I'll be totally out at sea. or if I do a lot of meta posts in months to come, which is quite possible, I may see things totally differently. And then I'll again be out and like, what is this anyway? Or if I just want to go change the color of those lines, it's much easier when I've actually written down. And also, my definition names are kind of long sometimes, but that's because and I always try to make them so that they don't like me. So this is really heat Z is direction Z, and Fred Z is obviously Z threaded, which is kind of confusing because it's a tablet position, but never mind. Here I've said it, tablet in S position, and then I'll also put it visually there. So even somebody else, this is code I'm going to share on my website, in case somebody else wants to use it. And maybe somebody gives me a better option. I also know this all could be done with ticks, but somehow MetaPost feels right to me now, so I'm going to stick to it. The pattern size is kind of, I probably should omit that, but take a hike. Okay, there's a square. This is a surprising amount of work. This is where I stumbled on unit square, finally. And had to get the line join right. And then there's, the only thing that really is, I've got this expression. This is define Fred square. And the expressions, and this is again the first example I got came from Hans, and then I fiddled with it to get what I needed then, and then I realized what I was doing, I was like, oh, this is smart. So there's color A, this is X, is Y. So I can say fill with color CA, so I don't have to define the different color squares separately, I can define the color when I've draw the squares, and that also makes it much easier to switch the color on them. So when I plan the tablet weaving, I can very easily switch the color on my stitch or my square. And this is just usability. Plain usability. And all of this is copied from the tablet weaving original file. And then I just built the pattern. Again, this was the easy bit. Once I managed to get the code right, I love it. Because this makes, this is where I would normally go clicking. I would go clickety, copy, duplicate, move, blah. Oh, instead I just write it. And this is written left to right. It's just first one is Z threaded, second one is S threaded, third one is Z threaded, and so on. And then it's got the threading, and it's got first tablet, first hole, pink, and then put the square in that position. And tablet one is at one, tablet two is at two, so on. The red and white and green I was working on today still needs the threading pattern before it can be shared, but there's a bit of shifting again.
Can you go back to the definition? At some point you said that order, the order of things was somewhat confusing if you begin. So you are drawing S and then filling S. Do you think it makes a difference if you revert that?
Did
you think about the order of draw and fill? Do you think it makes a difference?
I should actually probably fill first and draw after. It would probably make nicer definition.
Because you use half of the line width.
Yeah, it's just, this is, again, this comes so deep from the inside that, because in vector graphics programs, it doesn't make a difference. So what happens when I draw something in CorelDRAW, I get an outline drawing. And I often draw all my outlines and then I go and fill them. But the fill and the outline, the fill starts from the inside of outline, while in MetaPost, the fill and outline are kind of separate units. It's like outline is a frame. I guess that's how I should think about it. I should think about like having a, I have a picture, a piece of paper and then I have a frame. So I put the frame down first, and the picture on top of it, it covers half of the frame.
Yeah.
If I put the picture down first, the frame down afterwards, it goes the other way. So, but this is again because I'm not used to thinking about order in the same way, or this is the way I draw. So now I have to relearn a way to draw so things go right. And this is something I will end up fixing all over the place, all over the time. When I learn new things, I have to go and fix all the ones when I work on them, but that's fine.
Well, it doesn't matter, as long as it does what you expect.
Yeah.
It's not that
It worked out, but this is... Yeah, I haven't stumbled on this much yet, but it's something I would get hit by at some point.
But there is a difference. Say that you are enlarging something to really large scale, and you don't have a good printer. then you can have actually problems of
yeah.
So then sometimes it makes sense to revert.
Yeah, some printers have problems with overlays. On the other hand, if you have full Adobe Acrobat, you can always flatten things down, and that kind of fixes them. And I don't usually, I mean, these are really... I want to make the tableau weaving charts I'll use Contact to make PDF sheets, so people can download and print. But most of the AI, especially the ones I make just for me, just to play around, and that are not meant for sharing, they aren't likely to get printed ever, or they get quick and dirty print. I do lots of my craft instructions. I also photocopy from magazines the page I need, because it will end up in my craft bag, and it's going to be travel all over the place, and it's going to get messed up. So I'm not paying much attention to these fine details, because it's just not what I use them for. I mean, it is, just because MetaPost is publishable, but it's not, the original idea is not. It's not aimed at high-end publishing. Okay. Something still more complicated. I should actually show you the Celtic stuff. So, this is not my original Celtic. This is fixed one. I think I lost the original one. Not a good question is what I'm doing here.
No comments.
This is a revised version, but yeah. But this is anyway, this is where I did have, and this is one thing I love MetaPost, because it doesn't only do fractions, it does sums and all kinds of, the only thing that needs to be in extra parentheses is it's generally taking a lot of counting out of my graphics. Because I don't have to do it in my head to get it right on the screen or on the paper. I can let MetaPost to do it. So working on a grid of 16, it was, although that should be half and not 0.5, it's kind of off scale. But what I do here is really I draw one. Actually, I could get by, as somebody pointed out yesterday, I could probably get by doing just 1/8 instead of one. I think this is compilable. Yeah, I could probably get rid of all the stuff here. Yeah. So I guess what I did here, I mean, the original instructions in the book are always for the full knot, but I'm smart enough to realize that all quarters are the same. So my loop component is just, must be this one, I think. And then it just gets rotated. But again, I don't think I need the rotated around yet. Yeah, so I'm doing actually stupid shifting here when I could just say rotate around the middle point. So, but this one needs a bit of fixing otherwise too. It really is. It was one of the first things, I mean, I think the first thing I did was either this or tablet weaving. The first one was the fingerloop breading book, the line. But I think this might have been number two. And then I got, which gets exactly the same result, but taught me quite a few things. I got here a simple knot harness. Although I did something here too. But yeah, the important thing was I got this from Hans. And this was the first time I realized you could use fractions. I'm used to working on decimal scale, a metric decimal scale, or using on, or doing still something divisible by 10, for example, also points. Well, those can't be divided anymore. So, but this fits so much better for all of the old stuff. Because they worked with, the Celtic scribes did everything with a ruler and a compass. And they had actually promised dividing anything by 5. It was problematic for them. And I actually have a half loop here, probably because I used it for something else. I think that's not Hans, I think that's mine. Again, comments could be a bit rougher. And here's also. This was important. Add background with color black. That made life a lot easier. Here is also something that's very useful. Set bounds, current picture. So take anything drawn above and set boundaries. And take the current bounding box and make it a bit bigger. That's often useful. You get a bit of white space around your picture. Or in this case, maybe that black. And then it adds the background in black, which is also, I didn't even remember I've used this command, or rather Hans used it, I haven't. That is not a command that's even, I've got a very small selection of metaposters in my active glossary, maybe like 10. I've got a bit more in context. Then I have a passive repertoire of metaposts where I know that something can be done and I have a hunch how, so I can look it up. But then there are a lot of things I still don't know about. And I suspect this is just like a context that it never ends. But one day you may understand, I may understand a lot more, I may be a lot more creative when I know. Often it is really a case that I'm trying to do things far too difficult. Here is my, I think it works, yes it does. Here is the longer thing. So this one consists of, might have too much stuff, but it consists, there's the corner, and then there's a middle and a tail, I think, because it's not so necessary here, but I want to be able to expand this into a big mat, which they used for page fillers, which is unbelievable. They had the money and the time to use a half a page of expensive parchment and a week or two to draw a knot back on it. But these were the Celtic monasteries in Ireland, which had really good time until the Vikings came and a bit of a damper to there. And then also shifts in Catholic Church made them kind of obsolete. But this really is, again, I don't know if it's because I've done Lego bricks as a kid or something, but somehow this works out, or if it's because I've studied, I haven't done much quilting, but I've studied it, that somehow I managed to thinking in bricks is easy. It's just building those bricks first is the one that takes time, and a lot of what I do is really based on bricks, building blocks. You take a block and you take a second block and then you pile it up. So then I just relatively more yeah, I built bigger blocks, and then I remember to say that I want all the ends cleared. So because the here, these are not cuts. This is a line end. Had to fiddle a bit with the proportions to get the nice black lines here, but it's really, and this is how they drew it. So those have to be squared, while these I wanted to have rounded. So I built more components, but then it's easy. I just haven't bothered to go on and build a frame, but then I piled two plate segments. There's a one end half loop, which means it's got top and bottom. Then there's a middle, a second middle, and one end. The other end is just rotated 180. Again, there's stupidly it's shifted because I haven't figured out about rotating it around yet. And then I just enlarged the pony box for the background. And then it's kind of small, it's 2 centimeters. Could be bigger, but that's very easy to remedy. So that made my Celtic knot and plate. And it really, just because I got that built separately and that built separately, I can now pile things up. That bit can be taken and rotated to fit here, and the middle is the same all over anyway. Could also use this for doing real knot work, like pot holders or something like that out of knot. But this for it's just I like the patterns, but I find drawing them very tedious on paper and pen. And it's like a friend who really does real calligraphed pages in Celtic style had a Facebook status up that just said, "The feeling when you realize that you put wrong color on your plate." It really is when you have a big plate and then you're trying to count that you need to have that color here and that color here and the other color there. And then you have the red dot in exactly the wrong place. I can imagine that. I could color this too. And I could color, sometimes they didn't color it continuously, so I could also put some fun colors in there. Anyway, I think this is about this is the extent of my knowledge of metapose this far. So I think it's now time for any questions or problems or anything. I won't promise I can solve them, but I know there are people here who can. We can always, this is the workshop bit, we can work together to solve something small. Something big I probably can't manage, but
in case you would have to fill in a top border and bottom border of a page with that stuff, you would need something like a loop to repeat the middle stuff in your code, wouldn't you?
What I would probably do, I would draw...
Just saying, well, I want 20 of those here.
Yeah, I could... A loop is one thing. I have a loop a couple of places, but I have... That is where it shows that I don't do programming. I have difficulties understanding how a loop works. This means I just have to practice. Yeah, I would probably...
This is strange. Your handcraft is full of loops.
Yeah, it's just that it doesn't parse fully, but... yeah, where I'd use content. I first make one with a longer plate, more middle bits. That's about the right length. Actually, in MetaPost, I could tell it to be 19 centimeters or 20 centimeters. Because then I can easily, because in content, I can easily use layers. I can define it as a page background. And that is...
It's cheating, yeah.
It's not a piece of cake, but it makes life quite easy. And because if I say background repeat, I get it on every page. So, So that'll be the combination of metapost and conduct, actually.
Actually, what he actually wants is that on each page you get the amount of middle segments that reflects the page number.
What about 1200?
Yeah.
A squeeze, and then scale them proportions.
With a real kelp in the media, you see how what page you
get. Yeah, real kelp was not. I mean, they had. And they were actually usually pretty standard, so they had a folio page, or a half of a folio page, which is, you'd have quarto, you'd have an octo even. So you'd start from the real page, and you'd divide the page into, you'd put the grids on the page and then go on from there. So it's always made to measure. You don't do the pattern first and put it on the page afterwards. Like, I do it so I would probably make the pattern here and the about the right shape. I'd make it pretty close to the correct like proportions, and then I could with this current picture exercise I could easily, and of course context knows also how to scale stuff, but it would be easier to do it the right size in MetaPost, not to have to bother about scaling it any further. Of course, then you could do imposition and put it on A4 page and then print it on A5. I know that, but that's a different issue. That's context, not MetaPost.
You have a lower loop there in your code, don't you?
Yeah, but that's not a loop. But I do have a. But this refers to the picture itself. This is something I found sometimes. It seems to me that sometimes programmers lose grasp of reality. And any coding of mine is always needs-based. It's need to know, need to have, need to get done. Any coding I do starts always from reality. I mean, I will play around with tablet weaving patterns on the computer because it's faster. But I'm also aware of the fact that they may not always turn out the reality the way. Actually, the one
But take this middle component. If you copy and paste it 500 times.
No.
Yeah.
That's the point where I learned to use a loop.
Oh.
That's neat to know. I mean, I can paste. And this is why I want to learn MetaPost and I want to learn these things, because I realize there's so much of the tedious work. This is the same thing we had this morning. You want to... I don't necessarily want to do all the tedious little bits and pieces and clicking and stuff when I can get that automatized so, and I can concentrate on the creativity. And it really is... It makes a big difference to me to be able to... change the color of something by just doing a quick search and replace. And it really is much easier to do in text code than in... I mean, you can do it on the vector thingies to an extent, but it's just a bit of a pain and it doesn't always work the way you think. There are all kinds of things like CorelDRAW. Sometimes it decides to be in a different color space. And that's kind of interesting when you're... Now,
yeah, but what would be then for you the moment that you would say, wait a minute, now I have copied it 3 times, this should be an easier way, or is it, now I have copied it 6 times, wait a minute.
It depends a bit if I have time to study it or not. I mean, I still write my invoices in OpenOffice because I have a good template, and they are always short. But I don't try to do any extensive typesetting in anything else than context.
No, what I mean is, say you are not a programmer, yeah? So you do this on a need-to-do basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So you copy it 1 time, 2 times.
Yeah.
You're still not a programmer. There must be a moment when you think, wait a minute, there must be an easier way.
There's an easier way, it's just...
Do you know it because you saw it, or do you know it because you think there should be an easier way?
So it depends on what my level of general knowledge is at the moment. I mean, it really is my meta-post, is, as you see, I've started from really simple things. And I've had to learn all the basic logic, most of the fairly hard way. And only when I have a... I had to learn the basic things. I had to learn the things about semicolons and parentheses and that kind of things. I have to be able to see what's important.
The reason why I ask is because it depends on how you write a manual for users like you. As you say that you want to have 9 things. One solution is you make a macro that does 3,
yeah,
and you repeat that one 3 times. Versus you make a loop,
yeah,
that does 9. So that's a...
Yeah, that's a... Those 9, the mosaic, I was thinking about that, it is kind of a matrix.
The basic principle is that the computer is automating the work. Question is, how can it help me with doing something 1,200 times?
Yeah, there's also, I unfortunately not have it on this computer, but a programming friend, there's a wonderful chart on the internet about what a nerd does or what a normal person does. There's the curve goes away. The first, the nerd does a lot more work than the normal person. But then there comes the point where the curves cross.
Yes.
Because the nerd went through all the tedious coding and automates, but it's again, I can't be bothered for doing something one time. I might not be bothered to doing, but this table of weaving stuff, the Celtic knots, this is all things I'm planning to do a lot. So I will go through the trouble to try to learn to make it, do the repeats, do the rotates, do the loops even. Now this is where I was living today. And as I said, I have too much white here. So the real thing actually turned out nicer. I also think this is one of the things where I need to change my angle here. My reading is not 45 degrees. I need to change those steeper angle, squish it a bit, and probably squish it
so
also this way to get what I got on the real thing. So this is only about, this was good enough approximation that I thought this is something different, this is something cool. I'll do it this way when I'm threading the warp. And this time reality turned out to be nicer than that. But I wouldn't have tried it if I hadn't done the simulation first. But yeah, there's a lot of factors here that I haven't been able to automatize or even do nicely yet. And table of weaving it's computing. It really is computing big time, and it's just that I got the basics in the craft. This is one thing I found that I was worse off when I tried doing the Celtic knot, because I haven't really drawn them ever. I have all these cool books about how to draw Celtic knots and Celtic key patterns and that kind of things, but I haven't really ever done it on pen and paper. I've done like 1 or 2,
okay,
very few.
Can you go back to the knot? There's something interesting in that. The thing is, the knot, the
one with the middle bit?
The
one with the middle bit.
Knot and plate?
Yeah, okay. Okay, now imagine that you are a very experienced MetaPose user. Yeah? And what you see here is basically a path. You don't start thinking in small line segments, you start thinking this is a path.
No? Yeah.
Closed.
Yeah? And then you think, how the heck do I
clip
this path?
Yeah, that was exactly, that was what you said when you saw these.
Yeah, I would start from the wrong end. I have this path, okay, it's process, how do I, and clipping and cut before and cut after, all kinds of MetaPose stuff, which is not needed, because it's simply drawing it with the right line endings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And getting the measurements.
Yeah, getting the measurements is then the easy thing. But my first look would be, okay, this is a long path, and I have to somehow.
Yeah.
So in that sense, your solution is actually way better than probably we would have come up with.
Yeah, but this is, again, because my solution starts from a bottle of ink and a pen nib and a compass and ruler. Well, your solution starts at the keyboard.
At the loop, rather.
Yeah.
At the loop,
yeah. So that does make a difference.
Yeah, well, it's a big advantage of MetaPost that you have about 1,000 1,000 ways how to get the picture.
Yeah.
It depends on your taste, if you like to use something very
yeah.
simple methods, or if you prefer to think about an hour, because you know that then, after such a long thinking, you will write much shorter code.
Yeah. But this is really, if I'm doing something that's one off, I'll do it quick and dirty. But these really were things I knew that I want to do. I want to learn properly. I want to be able to do them. And I want to be able to do the basic elements. Yeah, this was the easiest of the mosaics. And this is, I smartly enough also started from this one, because the next one turned out to be slightly... No, that's
it also depends
that's
on the point of view how to do these things.
Of course, there is a
if you look at if you look at the not at the white ones but at the
yeah.
black bits, then you have some repetitive pattern, more easily seen than the white filling stuff or unfilled stuff.
Yes, we can do this way. This I again. This is especially where I needed to do the version 3. Okay, I missed B. Here. B was pretty easy in the end. This was when I had triggered the rotation thingy. Once I managed to rotate around that, things got easy. First round was not beautiful. This one is also a weak symmetric. It's divisible by 4, and it's got 4 thingies, and they are all very... this would again be pretty nicely doable in quilting, because the block is very... You could do two triangles there and a square there, and it would be very easy to cut and so. This turned out to be really, really easy thing, but then I continued over to the third one. And actually, there was even a more challenging one, which I skipped. These three are not originally quite next to each other on the floor, but they are all from the border of the same floor mosaic. This is the first thing I saw here was a wheel. And then I realized that no, I don't want to have anything to do with circles that I'm dealing with. This is mosaic version 3 actually draws just that and that. And it transforms, shifts, copies. The previous version did not do it quite this well, but now open recent, open mosaic. Yeah, it was very smart to split this into different slots, because I would have been confused with. Yeah, there is my old, and there is my new one. Again, here I had to say, and here I've actually managed to say, I probably had to experiment with it, because now I say line join mitered in the beginning. If I do anything else, I'm like, make sharp corners. And this is also, this was really, it's divisible by 5, which must have been real pain for the Roma workmen. Or the mosaic is probably, it may be done by Brits, but under Roma supervision, it's apparently not terribly well done. But, again, so, first I had 2 triangles, 2 squares. Then I realized that, I don't need that many. I only need 2 pieces. I got a triangle, and I got a square. And then I just go and tile them. Considering this is a mosaic, this is the old stuff, this is the current stuff. This...
It's difficult to see the difference.
I made it different. I piled it up from... I made more blocks to make the original block. And I piled it up stupidly too. This one is... This bit makes the single a quarter, two plus two means two squares, two triangles. The triangles are just shifted, they're the same, exactly the same. While the squares, again, here I use reflected about might have been something else, but I managed to figure out easily because it sits so nicely. That's one thing that made this one slightly easier, because it sits very nicely here on 0, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This was very easy to do in the head, in a sense. I mean, transferring this to MetaPost was... I had problems figuring out how to tell MetaPost what I want, but the basic block was very easily done. And then, so here I do it 1/4.
You should color one of them. Just color the... If you get them colors, it's easier to see where they enter.
Yeah, I can do this
take
with color
similar
red.
Yeah, so that we can see whether they're reflected about and so.
Yeah, that one is just shifted. And then I made this one and this one. Then I took that one and shifted it over there. Then I took that one and reflected about that line. For once, it was really easy to figure out whether reflected about it, but it really might have been easier ways, but that works really well. So I get this square. And then the next... So that should actually probably be called a quarter or something like that. It takes... Here I figured out that if I just say fill, I get black. Take a triangle component, take a square component, take a square component and reflect it. Take a triangle component, shift it a bit. And then it just makes the wheel, which makes the whole thing. Just take a quarter and then just... This is where I managed to figure out the rotating around. But this really is version 3.
Actually, in this case, if you would move, if the thing is sitting in the corner, I think you could probably do a sound around.
Yeah, this one has, and as the instructions in the book do the whole thing, it really, it doesn't even tell how the Romans laid the mosaic, if they did one square first, probably not. But they actually laid the mosaic starting from the middle. And they must have done it so that because they are all in the same border and they really are divided by different numbers, that they did the border first, put like guiding lines on the ground.
They have the pieces. So they have the pieces that they can... If you have this as pieces, you just...
This is made from pieces that are about 1 centimeter. Very small square pieces, which is then laid.
Okay.
So they must have used the guidelines, ropes. And then to lay it and I don't think I have the photo of that one, but I found this is also going to end up in the same place because it's a public document. There was a wonderful here. This is fact sheet of our Roman and British mosaics, and this I found online. And this is for like keeping them alive, and this will end up. But this is. This is a wonderful, this is called a pelpa, and it's apparently very common, and this is the one that's much easier to do in MetaPost than by hand. Those are not so, but that is also something that would be easy to do. That would be a bit of more of a challenge. And then here is, funny enough, what we call a plate. Romans did it as a guilloche. This is weird. This doesn't appear... This is more like... The Greek did this type of stuff. And this is very Roman. It's very Roman and Greek. But this is weird. Doesn't appear later either, because like patterns like plates go around, checkers go around. There are wonderful medieval tile floors, late floors, that would be also good for this, but... As I said, this document is something that's totally public, so I can... there's a Association for Study and Preservation of Roma Mosaics, free leaflet. So it's actually very good. About also how the mosaics came to Britain. And it's really, you don't have that many of them, but Brits had, they had these manors. And they had the money to lay the colored floors and
slaves.
Actually, probably local craftsmen. They just had the money to pay somebody to do it because they are Roman style villas, large villas, palaces, and they just like in Pompeii, they have these wonderful mosaic floors. And it is really, unfortunately, the mosaic museum in one of the smaller cities somewhere in Britain, I don't even remember, had just closed because they ran out of money. I was so annoyed. They had the biggest collection of Roman mosaics in Britain, and they were closed. So I've only seen one or two in real life in Britain. I've seen some in Pompeii, but it's also, I really like the combination. As I said, when we talked about, I'll have this talk, it appeals to me. Then I just said I could do the 600-year shift because I could do the fingerloop braiding booklet. But then I found the Roman mosaic book in my bookshelf. I realized that I can do 2,000-year shift.
I have a question. The undulating scrolls, flowers in the middle of the picture.
Yeah.
My question is, in what sense is that a mosaic? Which bits are constituting?
It would all be laid in small pieces of mosaic.
The slanted things would be bits and pieces cut to fill in the fill in the flower.
I should read this.
The bottom of the flower.
It's also a matter of scale. Think pixels. Your mosaic pieces are maybe like 1 centimeter squares, and if you are doing a floor border that's 3 meters wide, then you can, I mean, this is kind of stylist. They might also, it depends on the scale of your mosaic layers as well, the people who do the mosaic, how coarse or how fine it is, depends on the material you used, how well you can cut it, all that kind of stuff. The mosaic I've been simulating is actually, it's something that was found underneath a newer and fancier mosaic. They had to lift a multicolored mosaic because it was deteriorating. They had to lift the whole thing for conservation. They lifted it up and found a 100-year older black and white mosaic underneath. It's just, it had fallen out of fashion and it wasn't as fine, so. So you just laid a new floor on top of it.
Yeah.
That happens. But then they really, to lift the mosaic, you put something sticky on top, and then you lift and hope for the best.
So who knows what's behind below this floor?
Shall we wrap it up?
Sorry?
Shall we wrap it up? And people can...
Yes, it's...
I know you can keep talking, but...
Yeah, no. No, this was really... as I said, I ran out of my metapost... the extent of my metaposting.
Well, thank you.
Bit of collecting bits and pieces all over my computer, but I'll dump stuff on the server on Thursday at latest. So you can take a look. I'll probably want to clean up some of my credits code because I tend to leave all old bits and pieces behind.